Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for July the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's the blueprint for liberty and our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances, brilliantly put in place by the founders, one of the great solutions. We reject revelation, but wow, we reject revolution. We believe in revelation, by the way. We also believe in restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We can peacefully restore the republic. That's what we're all about. We're looking for your help as well. Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had a delightful weekend. A quick recap of yesterday, or Friday's show, I should say. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, rustcoiningift.com. Over the past 50 years, Rust Coin has been helping folks understand precious metals, a huge education campaign. We had a weekly update on metals. We do that every Friday. And it was an incredible little segment with Brian. Then secondarily, we had former Sheriff Richard Mack running for Congress. SheriffRichardMack.com, the website. Donate today if you want to help him run for Congress. SheriffRichardMack.com. By the way, we talked about government. Shut it down. I support the shutting down of the government. But I don't think we ought to look at essential and non-essential services. That's just a way to play games. Why don't we just shut down the government entirely? And then why don't we, with a single-page bill, one issue, one subject at a time, we could have a bill for every single constitutional line item that can be justified and make sense. We would force up and down votes and fund them. And that way we would only fund constitutional government, and the rest we would never, ever, ever turn back on or fund again. Wow, just imagine how that could be. Anyway, with Richard Mack, we talked about tales from the campaign trail. It was pretty brutal, ladies and gentlemen, about how the hostility and the election fraud that the Republicans are committing on a daily basis. It's out of control. We talked about the new police revelation could implode, the lone wolf narrative in the Las Vegas massacre. Law enforcement officials were forced to admit in court that they are looking into new charges against persons other than Mr. Paddock, the shooter. Now, I told you that he didn't act alone. Everybody laughed at me and ignored me and said, Sam, you don't even have law enforcement understanding. Why would we believe you? Come on, listen to the professionals, Sam. You're just a conspiracy theorist. Oh, I warned you is all I'm going to say. Hour two, Tucker Carlson show. Looks like Scott Perry, a Pennsylvania congressman, he suggested that ISIS was responsible for the shooting in Vegas. You wonder what pay dirt he has, huh? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball. But I warned you they couldn't rule out terrorism so quickly. They were lying and had an agenda-driven narrative. Hopefully the truth will come out in this case, because what a dishonest tragedy. No wonder we don't trust government, huh? The KKK marches in White House video. It's a new YouTube video. I shouldn't say YouTube. It's YouTube video. You know the rock band? They got the KKK marching at the White House in their video. Why would they stir up racism and trouble like that? What a disgrace. Sexual harassment and assault rife at the United Nations all over the globe. What a shame. What a tragedy. Again, shut down the UN and there won't be any sexual harassment there now, will there? Conservative lobbyist. His name is Jack Berkman. He offered a reward for the information on the Seth Rich murder. Looks like he was violently attacked, says Daily Caller. You think that's just a coincidence? I don't believe it. What cover-up is going on with the Seth Rich murder? Just like the Vegas shooting. You can't trust them, folks. There's cover-ups everywhere for their shenanigans. Hope Hicks, that's the right-hand chick for the Donald, will indeed testify before the House Intelligence Committee, writes Henry Rogers. Wow, that'll be interesting. I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that one, huh? We've had personal dealings with Hope Hicks. Wow. Microsoft executive says, in 20 years, everyone will have a robot, a, quote, second self alter ego, if you will. Yeah, they say that the alter ego will know everything about you, even more than your spouse, writes Joseph Paul Watson. Now, I don't believe that for 2 seconds. I agree that the exec might have said it from Microsoft, and I'm not downing InfoWars for reporting it. What I'm telling you is that's psychotic. They've been telling me for years that I'm going to have driverless vehicles, but nobody can let me get in one. See? You're not going to have an alter ego robot of yourself in 20 years. It isn't going to happen. What about folks like me who don't want one? How's that going to work? All right, Dianne Feinstein flips her position on shut down the government for the second time in a day. Anyway, the Freedom Caucus backed the Keep the Government Open House bill. Shame on them for doing so. Why would we ever fund unconstitutional government weaponized agencies, huh? Unemployment claims, good news, dropped to the lowest in 45 years. They said Donald was going to ruin the economy. Now they're saying everything is up, up, up and doing well. In fact, the economy is doing so well, they're probably going to have to raise interest rates, huh? Lowest jobless claims in 45 years. People say 401ks are up. It goes on and on and on and on. Wow. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast we took care of on Friday. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is with us today. What do you think of the recap, sir?
Wonderful recap, Sam. I enjoy it. I'm glad that you review the news and help us connect the dots from one day to the next.
30 seconds before we move on to the topic at hand, what do you think of the government shutdown and my proposal? I say shut it all down, then fund piece by piece so everybody can see what's legitimate, what's constitutional, one subject at a time bills, force up and down votes, and literally force the Democrats to either fund or go on record as rejecting every line item of constitutional government, never open the rest. Period, end of paragraph. What do you think?
Well, that might put a few government people out of work, Sam.
That's all right. The private sector's heating up so fast we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, these poor people, though, that they'd be out of a job, Sam.
Oh, they'd just go ahead and get a job in the private sector. Maybe they can go work for Amazon. They're hiring.
Oh, I don't know if any, you know, real...
And you know how valuable they are to the private sector as well, Lowell.
Yeah,
I mean,
point.
These are sought-after individuals with high six-figure incomes, many of them.
But think about my proposal, though. Single subject at a time, up-down votes, and every one of them would be, this is a constitutional government initiative, and here's why, and here's the line items proving it. In the Constitution, and we're not going to fund anything else. It's that simple. We're going to force an up-and-down vote. We're going to put everybody on record. And then we're literally going to go after, in 2018, anybody who will not fund the proper role of limited constitutional government. It's that simple. Why don't they do that? Well, what's wrong with these people?
Yeah. It sounds like what we had 200 years ago, Sam. That was
anyway,
taking a step back in time.
I don't see anybody, not the Donald. I don't see anybody talking about what I'm talking
Make
about.
Make America though. Great again. Hmm?
Is anybody talking about it like me, though? Is there a single person?
Not a single person.
Wow, why not? I mean, am I that innovative, that much of a brilliant think tank just individually? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, Sam. I think we ought to do exactly that. But the problem is, not everybody agrees, unfortunately. Congress, they'd put them out of a job if you did that, you know, and their interest is not in that, and it's not in justice. It's in keeping their own job, keeping their own power, keeping the status tyrannical government that they currently have given us, unfortunately.
All I want is the proper role of government. I want to know who stands with it versus who stands against it. And the problem is the House literally backed this thing. The Senate failed. Thank heavens the government shut down. But literally, you got a bunch of House members that are backing these unconstitutional weaponized government agencies, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll find as we get into the show today, we'll find out why that's a terrible idea. We'll actually see a real live example of how a government agency run amok, exercising extra constitutional powers, was able to coerce another branch of the government into doing what they wanted them to do.
And the House of Representatives sold us down the river, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the reauthorization of FISA Section 702, sir.
That's right, Sam. 2 weeks ago, the House considered the bill. 1 week ago, the Senate considered the bill. And basically, it's a bill to reauthorize the illegal surveillance of U.S. citizens. All four of the representatives from Utah, which are Rob Bishop, John Curtis, Mia Love, and Chris Stewart, all four of Utah's representatives violated their oath before God to defend the Constitution. Because how can you pass a law that violates the plain language of the Fourth Amendment and not be guilty of violating your oath to to defend and support the Constitution, right? I mean, taking property, Sam, without permission is theft. Surveilling and capturing information without a warrant is not lawful. It is forbidden by the Constitution, or by the Fourth Amendment specifically.
And that's so, why I go to the extreme level of talking about weaponized, unconstitutional government agencies, because when they literally come in like an armed thug and steal your property, they have become weaponized. They're armed to the teeth, they're violating the law, and they're getting backing from ne'er-do-wells in Congress who don't understand their oath. Let's talk about it. Lowell's with us. CampaignForLiberty.org. Lowell Nelson on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The reauthorization of FISA 702, the House reauthorized the illegal, I'm going to repeat it, illegal surveillance of U.S. citizens. And sadly, all four of the representatives from the Olympic State of Utah, Rob Bishop, John Curtis, Mia Love, and Chris Stewart, violated their oaths of office. Look, how can they stand for the Constitution but yet literally back the illegal surveillance and confiscation of property of American citizens without due process? This is criminal. The Senate also then backed it and reauthorized Section 702 of FISA, which allows the surveillance of citizens without a warrant, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment and the supreme law of the land. Now, shame on the Donald, because Donald Trump signs FISA, reauthorizing the belligerent, unconstitutional, weaponized surveillance powers for what, 6 years? That's probably longer than he'll be in office if we're not careful there. So they all sold us down the river, every single one of them, except for a couple of good Republicans and a couple of good senators. We'll talk about that in a second. But there you go. The deal is done, Lowell.
It sure is, Sam. The fix was in, and they, as you say, sold us down the river. You know, I'm reminded, Sam, of a cartoon that I saw probably 20 years ago. And I still have copies of it around somewhere, but I wanted to ask you to picture in your mind a piece of parchment on which is written the U.S. Constitution. You know, you've all seen those images of the U.S. Constitution on parchment. It's a beautiful picture, right? But then stamped on top of the Constitution are these words, void where prohibited by law, right? And so you've got, you know, and so it begs the question, what is, which is the supreme law of the land? Is the Constitution the supreme law, or is the acts of Congress, are acts of Congress the supreme law? And what you have, what we have here is that just in the last week or two, Congress has stamped the Constitution, specifically the Fourth Amendment, is stamped right on it, said void where prohibited by law, basically Section 702 of the FISA. And so it's backwards, Sam. It's the Constitution, which was supposed to be the supreme law of the land, is being subjugated, right? Subverted, subjugated.
And it's not being done by accident or by oversight. It's being systematically done, sir.
That's right. You know, I'm reminded also of a statement by George Washington in his farewell address in 1796. He said this, quote, "If in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong," you know, and so let me just insert here parenthetically, if in other words, if Congress thinks that the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment is wrong in any particular, then, continuing on here with President George Washington's quote, he says, "Let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates, but let there be no change by usurpation. For though this, in one instance, may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed." End of quote. And so I'm with George Washington on this, Sam. If for some reason Congress feels, if the people of this country feel that the Fourth Amendment is in some particular defective or incorrect or inadequate or whatever,
or misapplied, whatever the case may be,
exactly, then let us correct that omission or oversight or defect or whatever. Let us correct that in the way the Constitution designates, which is by amendment, right, where two-thirds of the states or two-thirds of Congress proposes a change, and then if three-fourths of the states agree, then that change becomes in effect. But let's not change it.
But not only do they need to agree, but they need to ratify. The two are different, because the state could, by leadership, say, we agree, but they might not get it to pass muster with a three-quarters requirement.
And it must be a ratification of the same language that all three, you know, all the states that ratify have to ratify the same thing. You know, we saw it with the law that never was, authored by Bill Benson.
Yes, sir.
Where the states, many of the states ratified a different version of amendments 14, 15, and 16, and so really, technically, those amendments are probably invalid. You know, it's been a while since I've looked at that book, but anyway. So, bottom line is, Sam. Yeah, if there's a defect in the Constitution, let's change it by the process of amendment, not by an act of Congress, because that is an act of usurpation. So I thought it'd be wise for us to walk back in history just enough to understand why the Fourth Amendment came along. FISA came along because they wanted to gather intelligence in the name of security. It came along during the Cold War to gather intelligence. But FISA now, in the current day, has become a free pass, basically, for the U.S. government to spy on its own citizens, basically to capture the metadata and probably the data of all your phone conversations and text messages, whether it's social media, Twitter, Facebook, telephonic communication, whatever. They're capturing it and storing it away in databases.
Now, here's the funny thing. Just like I mentioned that they're trying to disarm the American people, but yet we arm and train and fund terrorists and rogue agents and organizations around the world in the biggest military industrial complex ever known to man. So we arm the enemies. We try to disarm the American people. Well, the same thing's happening here. I don't know if you know this, but you know those guys at the FBI that were hating Donald Trump, and there was messages or texts back and forth about those two and their conversations? Well, the FBI they don't have them, gentlemen.
Oh, you mean they lost them?
Yes, sir. Well, they never really logged them, sir.
Ah. Yeah, because, you know, they can, the NSA, because they capture everything, they can be really selective on whether they, you know, whether they admit to having anything, right? Because you don't know what they captured. They didn't have a warrant for it. And so, you know, they have the plausible deniability, right? They can deny the collection.
Yeah, and whether they literally did not capture it or whether they captured it and they're not admitting to, I'm not sure how we're going to really dig in and find out the truth. Again, when you have these weaponized agencies against the American people, they become judge, jury, and executioner, sir. And that's the problem with it that I have, is that they violate not only the provisions set forth in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, but they violate the checks and balances that are intended to make sure that we can stop this and or get to the bottom of things. And in this case, how are you going to know? Either they maybe didn't ever record it, or maybe they did record it, but they just are lying, or they deleted it. Who knows what really happened? I don't see where we can get to the bottom of it and get to the truth, really, because the congressmen and senators love this weaponized agency, right?
Exactly, they do. In fact, some of the loudest opponents of Donald Trump, the president's loudest critics, most vocal critics, they're the ones who voted to reauthorize this section, which ironically gives the executive branch of government more authority to continue this warrantless search and seizure of information.
And if you say this is the Donald, then my response is, you know what, this really kicked off big time with George Bush, who literally violated the law. Instead of getting criminally prosecuted for his abuses, Congress just codified it, right?
That's right. These liars in Congress, Sam, they tell us year in and year out that they respect privacy and civil liberty, and yet when it's go time, basically time to demonstrate their sincerity about our privacy and civil liberties, there was only 8 Republicans and 30 Democrats in the Senate who did so, who actually defended the Constitution. And while 41 Republicans and 19 Democrats shirked their responsibility and figuratively speaking, tore the Fourth Amendment to shreds. Now, I just want to mention the names of those 8 Republicans in the Senate who defended, ladies and gentlemen, your Fourth Amendment rights. They are in alphabetical order by last name: Ted Cruz of Texas, Steve Daines of Montana, Cory Gardner of Colorado, Dean Heller of Nevada, Mike Lee of Utah, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and, of course, Rand Paul of Kentucky. Rand had an amendment he wanted to make to this Reauthorization Act, but was not able to even propose the amendment because 60 of his colleagues in the U.S. Senate voted to not allow him to do so. And so, bottom line, folks, it's wrong to reauthorize a law that directly violates the Fourth Amendment. It simply emboldens the government to oversteps its authority. And so I hope you called your U.S. representative and your U.S. senator last week before the vote and told them to # get a warrant, because that would have been the appropriate thing for us citizens to do.
Amen to that. Quick pause, little Nelson with us. There's some folks in the House that have done something decent as well to try to protest this. We'll explain it to you in seconds. Sam Curtin Lowell, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners.
Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, a lot of this FISA stuff, as you all know, is secret. The biggest problem with it is not only does it steal property and violate rights of due process, but it also is a secret kind of a court scenario. They don't like the normal courts where you can have a jury of your peers, so they create this psychotic FISA court. Well, anyway, a lot of the details with this are secret as well. And there's, what, 65 members of the House or 65 Republicans that are trying to force the release of the FISA memo stuff as well, So there are a few people trying to do something, but there's certainly not enough of us.
That's right, Sam. It's, and I take my hat off and applaud those who actually are standing up for the Fourth Amendment, standing up to defend the Constitution. And working to make change, I think it's fantastic. You know, the numbers are bigger now than they were 5-10 years ago, and they tend to be increasing. And I view this as a good thing. I think that more and more people across the country, Sam, are waking up to the fact that if we don't get a handle on our federal government, then it'll soon become so big and so overbearing, so oppressive that we will lose our freedoms entirely, whereas right now we've only lost portions of our freedoms and liberties. And so I, as the situation becomes more dire, I sense that more and more good people, men and women, are standing up for that which is just and true. And I view that as a very, very good thing, an encouraging development, Sam. Now, I wanted to talk about the origins of the Fourth Amendment, Sam, if I may. In the 1700s, there was something called a writ of assistance. And basically, a writ of assistance was a general warrant. And I'm using that word specifically, the general warrant. I mean, on purpose. It's called a general warrant, not a specific warrant. A general warrant that allowed an agent of the government to search for smuggled material on the premises of any person or business. Well, James Otis, there's a fellow named James Otis, who was advocate general for the British government at the time, when the legality of the warrants were attacked by a number of citizens there in Boston. Of course, being the advocate general for the parliament, James Otis was then expected to defend the writs of assistance. Well, he promptly resigned, Sam. He resigned because he could not morally and in good conscience defend something which he knew to be unlawful. And so the Boston merchants then immediately retained him as their counsel to oppose the writs before the Superior Court of Massachusetts. And so James Otis, he even refused the money they wanted to pay him, saying that in such a cause he despised all fees. And he felt so strongly about this, Sam, that he would not take money for the effort and the time that he put into proving to the court that the writ of assistance was unlawful. And so in a five-hour speech, which was, by the way, witnessed by a very young John Adams, who later became a president, one of the framers of the country, John Adams heard this speech. Otis, in 5 hours before the court, argued that the writ was unconstitutional. He based his case on the rights guaranteed in English common law, because at that time, of course, the Constitution had not been written yet. The Declaration had not been made. And so basically he looked to English common law to show and to prove that a writ of assistance was unlawful, unconstitutional. And so basically the ultimate response to this abuse turned out to be the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So speaking of the writs of assistance, it was James Otis who described them as, quote, the worst instrument of arbitrary power, the most destructive of English liberty, and the fundamental principles of law that ever was found in an English law book, end of quote. He said, quote, I will to my dying day oppose with all the powers and faculties God has given me all such instruments of slavery on the one hand and villainy on the other as this writ of assistance is, end of quote. Talk about passion, against a federal tyranny, or the tyranny of the oppression of a tyrannical government. He observed, Sam, that while specific warrants are legal, that general warrants, such as the writs of assistance, are not legal. He said it is a power that places the liberty of every man in the hands of every petty officer. And then James Otis, finally, this is my last quote from his speech there, explains this piece of bedrock of English liberty. He says, quote, now one of the most essential branches of English liberty is the freedom of one's house. A man's house is his castle, and whilst he is quiet, he is as well guarded as a prince in his castle. This writ, if it should be declared legal, would totally annihilate this privilege. Custom house officers may enter our houses when they please. We are commanded to permit their entry. Their menial servants may enter, may break locks, bars, and everything in their way, and whether they break through malice or revenge, no man, no court can inquire. Bare suspicion without oath is sufficient, end of quote. And so, Sam, this is the basis on which the Fourth Amendment was written. It was written to protect against this invasive search and seizure power of any agent of the government. And as such, there are five elements of a reasonable search. You know, I'm not here to tell you that every 100% of searches are illegal or unlawful. I'm here to tell you that most searches and seizures are unlawful. And there are five elements of a reasonable search that I want to highlight here. They all come from the Fourth Amendment itself, which says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That,
in other words, bottom line, you've got to have your act together of exactly what you're trying to do, justification for it, specific detailed items relating to your request. This is going to be very narrow in focus, and there's a check and balance to even making it happen, if it happens at all.
Exactly right, Sam. There's got to be a warrant. That warrant has to be based upon probable cause, and whoever's making the accusation needs to do so by oath or affirmation, right? They have to swear that some law has been broken and that the evidence of the crime is likely to be found in a certain place or upon a particular person, has to describe the place to be searched and with particularity the person or the things to be seized, right? And if you don't have those five elements, you do not have a lawful search. And so that would be violative of the Fourth Amendment, right? And you can't just have three out of the five or two out of the five or four out of the five. You got to have all five elements to have a lawful search or seizure. And so I don't care if you talk about officer safety or roadside checkpoints or whatever. Those are simply expansions of government tyranny, and they are violative of the Fourth Amendment. So today, we have come to the point, Sam, where we have traded, over the years, we've traded a little bit of liberty for what we thought was a little bit of security, but now, basically, we have lost both, and we are more like slaves on this land. Our fathers decreed to be a land of liberty. We're more like slaves than we are sovereign American citizens. And so I'm reminded of a verse from the Book of Mormon, Ether chapter 2, verse 12, where the prophet says, "Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ." So there you have it, Sam. Prophetic warning that if we fail to serve the God of this land, then we are going to be in bondage. And, you know, I think to a large extent, collectively speaking, we are in bondage. And a lot of it, we're in bondage to the government agencies. The government has gotten an upper hand in this country, and we're now paying the price. And we have a lot of work to do to reclaim our liberties.
Now, so, I want to mention your second topic that you want to discuss today, and I know we're not going to get to the other topics because this topic is just too good and has a need for education like no other. But yeah, the second topic, in my opinion, directly relates coercive power of government agencies. And this is why I literally say they've been weaponized against the people, Lowell. I mean, I don't think if we really drill into this, that can be debated for 1 second.
I think you're exactly right, Sam, as usual. And that's one of the reasons I put these two together, because I want to illustrate, this story illustrates why citizens should not be surveilled by their own government. Basically, it comes from an article posted by a fellow named Dan Thomason. He posted it on December 30 of last year, so that's just 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the first part of the article, he describes the animosity that existed between the FBI chief, J. Edgar Hoover, and the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Martin Luther King, Jr. As found in a letter from Hoover to his third-in-command, William Sullivan, who headed domestic intelligence in the early 1960s. Well, it turns out that in 1963, it might be in 62, but I think it was about 63, the FBI got permission from the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, to begin surveillance of Dr. King at all levels.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Details in seconds. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. So we're talking about this hostile abuse, literally by federal government officials. You got coercive power of government agents and agencies. And there's an incredible column written about this. What is it, campaignforliberty.org, Lowell?
Yes, posted on campaignforliberty.org.
Good. Go ahead and continue, sir.
A column by Dan Thomason is posted there just two or three weeks ago. But, boy, is it relevant, Sam? We've been talking about the dangers exist in using writs of assistance, or today's today's terms, it's basically, you know, government surveillance of all U.S. citizens' communications. It's a general warrant. I mean, they don't even have a warrant, but they're just generally collecting, they're surveilling everything we say and do in the media, right, in social media and telephonic communication. Well, back in 1963, the FBI got permission from Attorney General Robert Kennedy to begin the electronic surveillance of Dr. Martin Luther King at all levels. They bugged his hotel room, his offices, everything. And what they and they did so because they thought, or somebody thought, or claimed that he was working with a communist, right? And he was colluding with the communist agents. And so they bugged, at least that was the ostensible reason they bugged his premises. And what they found was not any affiliation with communists, but sexual incidents that were taped by the listening agent. One of these was explicit, and so Hoover played that tape around town to members of the press and other people of influence in order to prove King's indiscretion. Right? Now, am I defending King's indiscretions? No. I'm just saying that's what they did with the evidence that they collected. They surveilled King, and then they played this information for members of the press and other people of influence to give King a bad name, a bad reputation, right? Now, why would the Kennedys, why would Robert and John Kennedy agree to permit this intrusion into the life of Dr. King at the time when John was going to face a tough re-election, right? Doesn't make any sense. Well, here's the killer, the sticking point. Hoover had evidence on the Kennedys that gave him the leverage to force Kennedys to give him permission to surveil the Kings. Turns out that Hoover had knowledge that President Kennedy had been having a passionate affair with a gal named Judith Campbell, who had been introduced to him by Frank Sinatra and was also an intimate friend of her colleague with the Sicilian Chicago bobster Sam Giancana. So Hoover lost little time making Bobby Kennedy aware that he knew about the mafia party girl and warned him of the difficulties of the situation, including the fact that she carried messages between the mob boss and the president. Right, Giancana and President Kennedy, right? She carried messages back and forth between them. And so the implication to Kennedy was very, very crystal clear, especially since the administration had pledged to go after organized crime. And here they were working with organized crime, one of the mob bosses of organized crime. They couldn't let that come out, right? And so the president's long relationship with Campbell would have been nearly impossible to explain. In fact, it prompted one of his best friends, Ben Bradley, of the Washington Post, made famous by that movie, All the President's Men, where Robert Redford starred in it. Basically, Ben Bradley said a decade later that Kennedy would have been impeached had this stuff been known. So Hoover had the goods on Kennedy, basically, and coerced Kennedy into giving him permission to surveil Dr. Martin Luther King. And so this is just a real life example, ladies and gentlemen, of what happens when give permission to one arm of the government to surveil other people, well, U.S. citizens, in fact, other people in government. It turns out that Dan ends his article, Sam, by saying that he knew William Sullivan, but never actually discussed the King matter with him. And the weekend before, William Sullivan was to testify before a Senate committee chaired by Idaho Senator Frank Church. William Sullivan was shot and killed by an errant hunter. I find that so coincidental to be almost unbelievable that the week, you know, just days before he was testified before Congress, William Sullivan got killed by, you know, a so-called hunter. So, bottom line, Sam, beware of the collection of information by a tyrannical government, because it will be used against you, which is all the more reason, folks, to replace the members of Congress who voted this last week and the week before to give our intelligence organs of the government, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and others, continuing legal authority to surveil your communications. Sam?
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a disastrous history. We need to return to the rule of law. We support the 65 Republican lawmakers that are calling for an immediate release or transparency on the FISA memo. We're grateful for the 8 senators that rejected it, even though we don't agree with some of them on a lot of things. In this case, they're right. Shame on the Donald, shame on the House, shame on the Senate for selling us down the river. And really, this coercive power of government agencies only happens when we allow them to violate the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers. And that's why we must use the check and balance principle to restore the republic and stop their shenanigans and get rid of entirely these government agencies that have been weaponized against the people, whether it's the FISA courts, whether it's the FBI, the CIA. You know, these agencies are behind it every time. The IRS, when you dig in, you find out every time that's kind of the source. Now, while that's all happening, Ron Paul just wrote us and said, folks, they're pushing for a national ID card. Once again, everyone, Lowell's got the tails.
This could be serious, Sam. Ron Paul writes, brace yourself, because here comes a new fight over the national ID card. And what he's fearing is that they'll probably try to work it into the DACA fix. Basically, you know, right, I mean, Trump and others are pushing for immigration reform right now. And so it turns out that the DACA is expiring. And now, the DACA stands for Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. That's DACA. And it basically, our immigration policy begun 2 years ago under Obama that allowed individuals who entered the country as minors and had either remained in the country illegally or whatever, it allowed them to have a renewable 2-year period of deferred action from deportation and to be eligible for work permit, right? So there's nearly 1 million people, 800,000 apparently, referred to as dreamers, after the DREAM Act bill. And that's what DACA is all about. Basically, the Obama administration established this policy in 2012, but Trump had rescinded the policy in 2017. And so now you've got all these dreamers about ready to be sent home, right? 800,000 of them. And so it's a big, big deal in Congress. And so what Ron Paul is fearing here is that they'll try to do some compromise where they'll basically give amnesty to these 800,000 and in return implement a national ID card that will mean that the government will know everything about you, and without an ID card, you won't be able to get a job, probably won't be able to transact business with banks, and probably won't be able to fly on an airplane if you don't have a national ID card. You won't be able to get a job or even hold a job because probably businesses will be coerced into checking every employee for a national ID card. And so this is a terrible thing on the horizon. And Ron Paul is warning us about this national ID card scheme. It's a key component of H.R. 4760. That number again, H.R. 4760. And it might come up as early as this week, folks, in Congress. And it's a dangerous thing to have a national ID. Because.
And we've always thought that if the Republicans have control of everything, that this wouldn't happen. But now we see it in spades.
We really do, Sam, because the security that members of both parties in the U.S. House want basically does not target any U.S. border. Basically, it's instead meant to create an all-out police state within the borders of the U.S. The truth is, Sam, this is exactly the type of battle that often decides whether a country remains free or a continuous sliding toward tyranny. And so Ron Paul's warning us, and if you don't have, if you didn't get this email yourself, ladies and gentlemen, please go to campaignforliberty.org and sign up. Just provide your email address. That's all you need to provide. And then you, too, can be getting these important messages from the former Congressman Ron Paul, who is alerting us to this dangerous development in Congress that has just appeared over this last weekend in connection with the proposed government shutdown.
And it's interesting to me why, and I appreciate Ron Paul bringing it up, but why do we need Ron Paul, a retired gentleman that's out of Congress, to bring this to our attention? Where are the congressmen and senators that would literally be able to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is wrong? Why aren't they speaking out, huh? Why aren't they calling us in the media to give them free airtime to lay out this threat and this problem? Where are they, ladies and gentlemen? I don't see them anywhere. Lol.
Well, that's the problem. And so they're not speaking up because we citizens are not demanding that they speak up. And therefore, please call your U.S. representative and your U.S. senators today. And I'll give you the number here, 202-224-3121. That's the number we should all memorize. Any citizen activist worth of salt should have that phone number memorized and be on the phone and demanding of these members of Congress that they oppose this dangerous national ID scheme. Sam, that's the bottom line. If you're not signed up at campaignforliberty.org, go there and sign up today, and then make a call, 202-224-3121, and insist that they oppose the national ID scheme.
Now, here's the tragedy. We've been fighting this for over 20 years, and it keeps coming up and coming up and coming up and coming up. But if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, one time they're going to get a hammer dunk. Beware.
That's right, Sam. H.R. 4760, that's the one we got to watch out for.
Godspeed, Lowell. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, always doing a stellar job. If you believe we provide value, ladies and gentlemen, then fund us, would you please? We need your support in every way, including donations and more. This is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, but man, pound for pound, we deliver a punch. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use day in and day out to bring you up to speed on what matters in America. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.